burnt offerings. Something's not right.
I got a little stuff. Yeah, I'll hold it here. The thing about compulsions, he was talking last night about what you were going to talk about last night before you talked about it.
Compulsions?
Yeah, if you think you got a compulsion, then you've already lost the game. And I just been going through a compulsive behavior like that.
You have to listen to this tape.
That's real name.
I wish this stuff was transparent.
By naming it, you're giving power to compulsion.
The only thing you know about sin, otherwise sin is purely and completely an intellectual phenomenon. The only way you can personalize and empathize sin is compulsion. Okay. So therefore, when you see the word you as a hunk of protoplasm, your compulsions are your sins. Otherwise, they're just some religious theory. Okay. The strength of sin is the law. When you ate, when you and your, the first Adam, ate of the tree of good and evil, they ate of the law. The law was in the garden. God said, don't touch it. If you touch it, you'll die. I mean, he said, don't eat it. If you eat it, you'll die. Well, all you've done is eat the law over and over and over again. And that law, the strength of your sin, the strength of your compulsions is the law. What happened? If you were before, I wish you see. That's why I did the name thing first. Did you say the names, the language tapes?
I just heard the first one.
Okay. The immediate thing happened that happened before the fall was God said, "Name the things." Right. So the act of naming the things is what precipitated the fall. All right. The next thing in the fall was the aid of the law, because they could name the things. Prior to that, they had no self-awareness. Okay. You need a greater impetus in your life in order that the compulsion is destroyed. Now, what Moses made him do, it's the same thing, was he ground up the idol and then he put it in the water, and then he made him drink the water. In the spirit, what that is Moses had just returned from the mountain. You don't believe this, and some of you won't like it at all. But what he said by the act of eating or drinking the water with the gold in it was, your compulsions are okay. You have to have some authority figure. That's why there is a thing called a rabbi. And the rabbi has to say to you, it has to be someone that has had more influence on your life than anyone else. And that person has to say to you, your compulsions are okay. You're all right, just like you are.
I really intellectually believe that, but emotionally, every time I get into it, it's like a block of, like a stumbling block.
Well, because the strength of sin, the strength of the compulsion is the law.
Don't do it.
Or whatever, the subtleties of it. When Ed heard this last night.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I did.
He said,
what's
the difference between this and license? Nothing. To be able, for someone to say to you that every compulsion that you have, again, you can call that compulsion a trespass or a sin. That's the only thing you'll know about it. That's the only way you can emotionalize trespass or sin, is your compulsion. You understand that?
Yeah. It's like the whole thing of embracing evil, because if you keep thinking you should not do it, then it's more fun to do it. I mean, that's just the way the retarded mind works. You know, if it's something you shouldn't do, then it makes it more of a thing that you want to do. Like, it feeds the compulsion. Yeah,
it's not that you want to do it necessarily, it's you have to do it. It's because you've given the land back. I mean, you need to hear that tape last night. Ed, I don't know if Ed's recovered yet.
As I was listening to it this morning again this evening, I can feel something in there. Screaming, no, I don't want it to be okay. Don't take this away from me. Don't take this fear of guilt away.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird. Don't take away my little pile of shit.
See, that's the thing that's going on in me now, and I have to trust my impulse. I can't go any further on this burnt offering until you all see this. The most disgusting compulsion that you can have, the most dangerous compulsion that you might have, is okay. And they'll crucify you for saying that. The reason it's okay is because all of the trespasses of your past were laid upon him. You believe that, otherwise you wouldn't. You sometimes believe that. All the trespasses of your present have been laid upon him. Now, you've got to emotionalize that all of the trespasses of your future have been laid upon him. Every possible trespass that you could believe, ones that you know not of, ones that you don't even know are wrong, have been laid upon him. Now it also goes the other way, the negative ones. Every time that she begets, and there's a time constant of probably 8 or 9 days, or maybe it's more than that, but anyway, she starts doing stuff about her body and her health, and a few days later, the anorexia or bulimia syndrome comes back in. And what happens is, that's her weakness. And it's a blessed weakness. But every time you try to take the covering and put the covering at some other place than the Father, i.e. your own, then it's just pretty soon all the land is back. You understand me?
Yeah.
Now, we spend a lot of time, all compulsions have to do with eating, even sexual compulsions, because spiritually they are all compulsions are offering a burnt offering, but they're all the burnt offering to the golden calf. Am I communicating a little bit?
Yeah.
Why the golden calf?
Because that's the abomination of desolation.
Most God. It's also the God that they believe, whatever God you believe, delivers you out of bondage.
Yeah, but it's, and you put Jehovah's name on it. That's what's funny. You did just the same thing they did. Build us a God that delivered us from Egypt. And so, I don't care whether it's sexual, I don't care whether it's eating, I don't care whether it's the impulses of anger, I don't care, all of the compulsions of man-pleasing, anything, all of Harry's compulsions of neatness and order, they're all eating. All sexual compulsions are eating because it's what gives you life. It's what sustains you. Now, we now have a table or an altar that they have no right to approach. We have food that they know not of. But you can't get to the table of God and eat with Him, and that eating will totally satiate you so that nothing else matters. That's where we are. We're going up to the table, the burnt offering, the sweet savor offerings, all of them are the ones that are participating. But a stranger has no right to eat thereof. He can't. It's not that he shouldn't. He can't. Why? Because he has a consciousness of the way things should be. Therefore, the strength of that, his error, is the consciousness of the way things should be.
See, that's what's got me thrown off track. Each of my compulsions is a statement of how things should be. The neatness and order.
Well, that's not your only ones.
No, but I mean, that as an example, for me, that's... It's a statement of how things should be.
Okay, now, hear me carefully.
This is what we've always said.
Yeah, but it's
it just sounds worse.
I've never said... See, what in bananas, I've made everybody list their compulsions down at gut level. And they're just scared shitless. So they were all scared last night, and because they thought we were going to do it last night, and then I preached too long, I didn't get to do it. But up to the very last minute, no one had any idea. They all thought they were going to get jumped on, God was going to beat them up.
Hot seats.
and I went through all this logic and scripture and bringing up to a point, and then I said, now, God would say to you, your compulsions are okay. Just about pretty. Ed died.
Yeah, but because Christ took the trespasses, there's no longer any trespasses.
Yeah, I know, but you got to get to the point of your own emotional end.
Yeah.
That's why you have the compulsion.
Yeah.
God. Everything we're doing, you cannot fulfill your office in the body until you take the first bite off the table with God at the burnt offering. Otherwise, you're just scrambling around trying to do your own thing. I can assure you that your compulsions are a revelation of your office in the body. I want you right now to know, no matter what your compulsions are, no matter how evil you might think they are, they're okay. Now God's going to transform them. But there can be, in order for you to see they're okay, you can't expect God to transform them. You can't expect that they will be delivered or anything else. Otherwise, you're just running to Babylon again. That's why I said, Ed said, where is this going? And I said, it's not going anywhere. Well, what's the difference between this and license? Nothing.
Not understanding is the difference.
And the word understanding, we are now building the altar, just like Noah builded the altar. We're understanding the altar.
Now it's kind of thinking about the link between compulsion and sin. And And I was trying to, I've been trying to understand why compulsion is more difficult to see through. And I was thinking that sin is almost always something that you did previously, whereas compulsion is always what's going to require you to do something tomorrow.
Or right now.
Yeah.
Whip it out.
So that, you know, so that somehow or another you can, it's easier to assume that Christ died for something I already did, but it's more difficult to assume he died for something that I'm going to do 5 minutes from now.
Last night we were talking about this stuff about compulsions, and I read a little deal that I found about this book that's about, you know, getting out of your, it's about eating disorders, and people who had named, you know, these bad foods that became rewards, you know, that they would binge out on, and so the instructions in this book were just do what you want to do. And so this person did this woman, and she ate chocolate chip cookies for weeks, but she gained a lot of weight. And then over a period of like 2 years, you know, her weight went down and stabilized at some reasonable level and just stayed there. And it's like, you know, all it is these engravings or whatever, you know, the rules. You know, and once there aren't any of those, that,
you've got to see this, that there can be no consciousness of mistake or sin or error or trespass as even a remote possibility before you can, then you're still outside the camp. All of these offerings and all of the position, everything we've studied is just a function of position. Now we are at a point, you know, it's taken us a long time to get here, folks. But this is where we've been headed.
This is where people get, you know, in ages past, they've gotten into the holiness teaching, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The problem was they'd still screw up. And so they, you know, they didn't understand that, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, have no consciousness of sin, but the consciousness of it was not there, you know, as far as their definition.
You're more free than you've ever dreamed of being. My role is to prevent you right now, perfect in Christ Jesus, so that you can partake of that table with the Father.
That's why all those scriptures about converting even the bones in the Valley of Gehenna, you know, are holy.
Could you expand on the Greek meaning of the word okay?
Perfect. Holy.
Gone.
Accepted, mostly.
Trespassing.
Everything that I have ever taught you was to get us to this point where you would have no more consciousness of sin, mistake, error. Whether you're fat or skinny, whether you're kinky or straight, whether you're, it doesn't matter. You are, every compulsion you have is okay. All right. Doesn't matter. Without any expectation of anything other than that. And until you get to that point, you will always expect a payoff. Therefore, you're in cause and effect. Therefore, you're worshiping Baal. Okay, if we do this, then I won't do that. Mm-hmm. You may do that till hell freezes over. I don't care. God doesn't care. The body doesn't care. It's okay. Whatever that is. And the witness of the body and the stone of witness that's standing in front of us, you're not stronger than God. You look like you've been hit between the eyes with a 2x4.
Well, I think my arguments are being stripped away inside my head. Well,
why don't you argue with me instead
of you?
Well,
I'm waiting for a chance to get in. You guys just keep talking.
It's your fault.
that's fine. That's okay.
Right.
Period.
Period.
But my wanting Gary to worship that, to have that compulsion, my wanting anybody else to have that compulsion.
Okay.
That part's okay? Sitting around,
okay.
Cursing at Gary?
Okay.
See, how could that be?
It's okay.
Judging my brother is okay.
It's okay.
No, freedom. I can't
That's what forgiveness is all we've been talking about.
How can that be okay?
It's fine.
Well, then what am I going to get yelled at?
You've been yelled at. You may get yelled at again. You probably will. You probably bet on it. You probably bet the farm on it.
You're killing so-and-so.
You're hating him. You're killing him. You're robbing him.
That's why you ask, what is the definition of okay?
How is that okay?
Okay. Perfect, we know that means
perfect.
Fully tested.
Okay means fully tested. Nothing can come against you, including me. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Suddenly I feel like I'm playing head.
What do you mean playing head? You are head.
You are head. Oh, God. I'm not laughing at you, Harry. I just have a tickle bug.
No.
I'm celebrating with a glass
this
of wine.
This is okay, too.
I'm celebrating with a glass of wine.
You're very interested.
Yeah, when we hear okay, we think, well, then if it's okay, then a whole bunch of other stuff's going to disappear.
No, there's no conditions to the okay.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
The process has acid in it, and the acid's okay. It's got to be there to do all of its work.
Then you do what you want.
I think
because that's what frees you.
The strength
you're still in the bonds of a compulsion,
sin is the law. Now, death, separation, hear me. Death is swallowed up in victory.
Yeah.
Oh, death, separation. Well, let's read it. I read it last night, but I don't think anybody understood the connection, so I probably ought to read it again. Okay, right now, this instant. You got it? You got your ears on? Where's Barbara?
She's hiding.
Where are we reading from?
Don't go there. Just listen.
Well, where is it?
I'll tell you in a minute.
First Corinthians.
Distract my tickle bug.
Do you understand that? I mean, I've told you 100,000 times the only purpose of time and space is antagonism. The only purpose is so that the fast.
That's why niceness
will become. Niceness is stupid. Where are you
Unless
going? Sit down. Sit down a minute, please. Don't go anywhere. Just stop. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed, transfigured. It's not sometime in the future. It's this instant, right now, if you can hear. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump just sounded, if you can hear. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's over. It's finished. You're okay. You are presented perfect in Him now. There's no more. The blood of Christ has cleansed our consciousness from. We no longer have the capacity to have the consciousness of sin.
Okay. Even if the exact same thing takes place again, that's still true.
Still okay. It always has been okay.
You know, when Gary said something a while back, I realized that was what was bothering me, and maybe bothering Harry too. Is that our definition of okay includes one thing that you didn't say, and that means that no one's going to yell at me. You know, our definition of okay means nobody's going to yell at us.
Sure, yell at you all the time.
Yeah, lack of lack of...
You know, talk to Doug about getting yelled at. You know.
That's why I can say some things aren't expedient, which is different from saying they're not okay. You know.
All things are lawful.
This has the ring of truth. I mean, I can hear it outside. I can hear it outside my cave. I mean, it sounds... It sounds real. It sounds true, but it doesn't jive with my experience.
Something's got to give, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the way I'm... That's the way I'm... It's like you've been traveling along underground here, and you're going in the right direction, and then somebody said, hey, come on.
Walk up on the surface.
Yeah, you walk up on the surface.
Let me give you another better example.
You're already going the right way. Let me give you a better example.
You have been crawling around on the ground, under the table, eating crumbs every once in a while. And God has been always saying to you, come up to the table. The provision is made. But you're the slowest change artist in the history of the known universe. It's taken you 14 years to change clothes. Put on the wedding garment. I mean, this really quick change artist in this group. 14 years to put on the right garment.
Just because our valet couldn't find it in the closet.
Think on these things. And if you can understand it, if you can hear, then we can proceed on the path. Now things really get exciting. The burnt offering, the table of God, eating the same thing, eating with God, fellowship at the table, walking in the light as He's in the light, fellowship then one with another, the labor made from the mirrors of the women in Egypt, polished in such a way that when you stood next to it, you could see every spot and every wrinkle, so that you know there is no way that this flesh can be perfected. So instead you jump into the water and are washed. Now you are clean by the word that I have spoken to you, the washing of water by the word. Then we walk in to the... Now we can begin... You guys want... All this time you want to know, you know, what's going on in the holy place? What's these seven spirits of God? Where the rock with the seven eyes in it? How can the mercy seat and the table of showbread be exactly the same thing? One's behind the veil and one's there. On and on and on. But we couldn't hear those things until you remove yourself from the consciousness of sin. The consciousness of anything having the capacity to be wrong. It's no longer right or wrong, it's tested. It's no longer right and wrong, good and evil are no longer in your vocabulary, because all of that was the fruit of the tree, which was the law.
Something just dawned on me. I've got a whole series of if-then statements.
Well, talk to me.
And what's going on is, if all this were okay, then it'd look like this. It'd be like this.
Okay, now tell me what that is.
If I were perfect, if I were okay, then nobody would yell at me. Nobody would be mad at me. I wouldn't be accused of anything.
Huh.
I would feel good. Things would go along smoothly.
Now listen. Listen. Who hath believed a report? And to whom is the arm or the Zeruah of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, you, as a tender plant. As a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see? He is despised and rejected of men. He's yelled at a lot.
Accused.
He's accused. Wait. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, etc., etc. I've been trying to say it. He doesn't look like you think he looks. And his life in you doesn't look like you think it should look. Your opinions about how it looks have been that golden calf. There's really only one idol.
It was really weird today going to Tyra's office, because I had to walk through hallways and past receptionists and then meet certain people, and then while we were talking, other people would walk by. And it was like I was Venus. I could feel people were looking at me like, who the hell is this guy? For no reason at all, because this time I was dressed okay. Hair was, I mean, there's nothing wrong. And they were looking at me like, who is this weird motherfucker? Without even saying a word.
Just because everybody's out to get you didn't mean you're paranoid.
It was bizarre.
Sounds like a hallucination. You don't walk in a place and nobody says, ooh.
But it doesn't matter. That's the point. It doesn't matter whether it was, or it doesn't matter whether it wasn't. It doesn't matter whether...
this example I was talking about. This lady eating these chocolate chip cookies, you know, she was free to look at chocolate chip cookies as they really are. Just as chocolate chip cookies. By the time the thing was done, and rather than putting them in this special place, you know, that was whipping her around. And then the difference is that you don't get whipped around by the stuff. It just becomes stuck.
So the question is why? Don't get whipped around is not because you're trying to play a cause and effect that if I go through this process that I will lose weight, but rather that you
come to the end of something and you see that, you know, there it is.
Well, but it says
let me
tell you, that's why I said this is why I sometimes there's a method of my madness, but that's why I talked about suffering Sunday night. I mean, you got to understand that if I've thought a great deal about what I've just said the last couple of days, you know. That's why it says, let none of you suffer as an evildoer, as a busybody, or as a, you know, I won't name all your kinks. Let none of you suffer as that. That has nothing to say. That's not. It means that you are transforming that activity into the suffering of Christ. And think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. But be happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. But let none of you suffer as an evildoer, as a busybody, as a window peeper, as a eating disorder, as a kook, as, you know, whatever it is. You're suffering for Christ. No matter what it looks like to the end, you know, to the world, it's death unto death. That's why now all these things, it doesn't matter. Those have no control over you. There is no law on the face of the earth that has any, it's nothing. It says, chaff to the wheat. Now, you're okay. Your compulsions are fine. Do you see?
Yeah.
Just getting used to being the office gallery.
It's okay. There is no condition that you can be in now or can be in tomorrow that isn't okay. All your trespasses, past, present, and future, have been laid on him. All the nature of sin has been laid on him. You may get yelled at, who cares? I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I shall not fear the faces of men. I have set my face as flint to go up to Jerusalem.
Do you understand me when I tell you that the things that are happening in the world, the reason the last temptation of Christ was made, the reason it's being released now, and the reason the response of the world and the religious world to it is such as it is to give you a foretaste about to what is about to happen to us?
You know, I've thought for a long time, it's also the reason that there's been the big rush on religious people doing weird things like getting sent to prison for 50 consecutive life sentences. And I mean, it doesn't seem like this stuff happened 5 years ago. And all of a sudden, it's ever since, you know, Oral Roberts and before, it's just been crazy with it.
Well, and they'll accuse you of everything in the book. And more, that's some of the stuff that's not in the book.
See, you all haven't... I've been accused of everything possible, I think. You haven't had that pleasure yet, most of you. Now the third level of suffering, which we really didn't get into Sunday night, is about to begin.
Golly, I just picture that flush of defensiveness and stuff that would come, being accused of something out of left field, maybe, and you start to go, and it's like this identity suddenly is beginning to come back together at that moment, and it's got to be a sling or a sing through or something.
Yeah. Who is it that's speaking in?
Yeah, it's like...
Not any, and not in
it's
just.
It's all true, and it's all gone. That's
so funny.
What's going on with you, young lady?
I think I go back and forth from seeing the whole world. I'm thinking about what Tom mentioned about the guy that went out and raped all these women. It's obviously compulsive behavior. And so there's a part of me that wants to protect from that, and a part of me that just this wave of seeing that it can't be both ways. I have to accept it in me, and then I have to accept it in everybody in the whole face of the world, and that's seeing the sacrifice for the whole world. It's seeing the high priest thing. And so it's wrestling.
Remember, right now what we're doing in this wrestling process, we're just as Noah, we're building the altar. Mm-hmm. We've got the cornerstone down pretty good. Now the altar is being built by understanding. And then we'll build the labor. Then we'll, on and on and on. See, God always goes from what's important to him to what's least important to him. We read it the opposite. The least important to him is the most important to us. Right now. The least important to him is that your trespasses are forgiven. The least important, next least, is that your sin is dealt with. That's minuscule to him. Yet that's all the world teaches about Jesus Christ. Then the next least important thing to him is the meal offering. Then the next least important thing is the peace offering. Then the most important thing is the burnt offering. But we read about it in reverse in the scriptures. We read Leviticus 1:1 starts out with the burnt offering, goes towards these other. When we see the tabernacle, it starts out, first thing it mentions the Ark of the Covenant. We don't think about the Ark. Then it goes to the showbread. Then it goes, it goes outward. So it's, we think now, hallelujah, the door, Jesus is the door. Man, that's neat stuff. Well, that's the least important to God. He don't care about the door. He cares about the destination, which is fellowship. There are two places the Lord speaks to you. Only two. One is at the door of the tabernacle. The other is on the mercy seat. Now, we won't get into tonight.
True.
We won't get in tonight to what the different kind of communications are. You just need to worry about the one at the door, because that's where you are. You're at the door if you can. You don't want to just. You can't see in if you're only at the door. I mean, you got to get through those curtains, and the curtains are what we're talking about now. You've got to get to the point where there's no more consciousness of sin.
Okay.
There's no more consciousness of the possibility of making a mistake. There's no more regard for compulsion. Mm-hmm. There's no more anything, because all of that has been dealt with in what we've just studied. We have builded it. We've understood it. We've edified it. That's good. All of those things that we've just gone through with leprosy, death, adultery, on and on and on. All of the sin offerings, all the trespass offerings. Now we can come to the door. Now you got to walk in the door. Well, you got to leave something out. The consciousness of sin.
You know, when they poured the stuff in the water like that to drink it, and if we were thinking of it, we mentioned before, it was like one of those cleansing rituals. Well, the ones who were able to take it in and it became part of them were the Levites who gathered around, and they were on the Lord's side, and they're the ones who went back out and
killed everybody else.
People who couldn't handle that and became sick, and that was gave them away that they weren't understanding.
Right.
And they,
that's right.
Children.
That's where we are in bananas right now. So I'm making them drink the water with the.
I see that. That's good.
Any of you sick?
Ed's getting pretty queasy. And Harry, we've had him on observation in the ICU all day.
It's so wild.
ICU.
It was wild too, because today was like being back. Today was like being back 5 years ago.
Yeah, because we did all kinds of business stuff with
audiovisual stuff, and it felt like. I mean, the difference was you were there instead of Charlie, but it was like.
You didn't like it, did you?
Yeah, I did. It's all right to like it.
I prefer using the chop saw.
Everybody understand with perfect clarity?
Oh,
this is wild.
Yeah.
I can't
believe building the temple. I mean, I'm stoned there.
But you're building it, you're the living stone. The temple is raising itself up, and it's raising itself at the speed of your understanding. Hallelujah. Now each of the stones on this altar we're building, there can't not have been any tool to touch it. So therefore, it can't be anything that we've done to shape it. It has to be builded of just like we are. We're going to get, and this is just starting now. I mean, as we move through this tabernacle, it's joy unspeakable.
I like the way it's all so scriptural. That's kind of a compulsive.
That's okay.
Buzz out of it. That's okay.
Okay.
I was just thinking when I went to a charismatic church, they would clap sometimes to God, and I used to think, but I feel like they're like.
You got to clap off.
Yeah.
Let it take place by its own volition. Let the temple and its services be built without our effort, without our liturgy. Let no tool have shaped our responses. That's the one thing that I've guarded with everything in me, that there would be no tool shaping our responses. That it would be natural and would flow as the river flows or as a cloud moves. I'm more charismatic than any of the charismatics. We've got to let it come forth by its own building. No tool shaping it. way of knowing what's going to happen next. The only thing I ever trusted was, number one, the impulse, and number two, the check. Impulse, check.
Jeez. I have flashes now. Of this thing of building, of being part of this building up of the temple. And it, you know, when I do get weird, it's like trying to set up a whole other temple. You know, but when you talk, you know, just there's just a feeling just then of being a part of this temple. And, you know, I can't.
Sense of destiny. Sense of the total and complete fulfilling. You know, I told Tyra the other night, I see her as Deborah healing, people walking in front of her and touching in their heel. I see each of you as the disciples who, when they walked, when people walked in their shadow, they were healed. You are men of God, and you shall do great things. Men and women of God, that your things you can't even dream about are going to happen. We have a destiny that they know not of. At times it seems like we're treading water. Never happened. It's the most intense activity that's on the face of the earth right now in us. They that wait on him shall renew their faith. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for them, us, who have waited on him.
I just find a wonderful sensation of what it would like be like to be a stone in the temple, or a board in the floor of the temple, and to be touching the other parts that are right around you, and be connected to all the other parts, and be holding it up and making it at all possible. It's just amazing.
All right.
That thing about people walking in their shadow, I've scoffed at that several times just because it just says people said that's what happened. But I've been trying to write a song about Psalm 91, and it talks about the shadow of the Almighty, you know, being in under the on the mercy seat. And when we walk, our lives will cast the shadow, not of ourselves, but of the Almighty, who is, it, I mean, the words is like the God Most High or something. It's like he fills the universe, so it's the world's biggest shadow, I mean, because it's everywhere. The mercy seat is everywhere. If we cast that shadow on people, you know,
that's why it says the seed must fall into the ground with understanding. That's why blind faith puke to God.
But it's okay.
No, there's some things that you're going to get chewed out worse than anything.
Compulsive growlers.
Okay, that's enough. Take a big guy. Think on these things, because I want to get on to the burnt offering stuff. You got to get rid of this consciousness of, oh, poor me bullshit.
It's okay.
I'm going to smack what he says.